Thank you, Pastor Matt, and Happy New Year to everyone. It's nice to see the calendar roll over, and some of us have more to look back on than maybe to look forward to as we change the year, but that's okay, because in eternity, don't have to worry about years or how old he is or any of those things, you know. And I've noticed, you know, ever since I went by a certain age, people tell me about all the stuff I can't do. Yeah, I was smiling at Pastor Matt's, you know, New Year's resolutions and getting up at 6 in the morning. You know, I remember reading about John Wesley, 4 o'clock in the morning, up to pray. They just didn't tell us that he went to bed at 6:30 at night, you know, things like that. Anyway, the things that you can't do, well, you know, I'm told after a certain age, you just have to behave yourself, and you shouldn't get too excited about things, you know, because when I think about all that we have in Jesus Christ, I just feel like going, yes! But they tell me you can't do that anymore, so I guess I won't. Anyway, it's a joy to be here today and to fellowship together. I retired a year ago from Heritage Alliance, and on a normal year, I'd preach about 38 or 40 times as a lead pastor, and this past year, with retirement, it's been so much easier. I preach 48 times. I've been doing some video messages that go to some friends in Africa, and it's just interesting to see how God has used the whole circumstance to open up an amazing opportunity. And what I'd really like to do is just zero in on one verse this morning, verse 16, and it's the beginning of that passage, and it says, thus says the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I always like to pay attention when it starts out, thus says the Lord, because this is something precious for God's people. And I would title the thoughts this morning, Great Opportunity. Here we are at the beginning of a year, and yes, we can let go of all that has happened in 2021 and leave it back there under the blood and step into this new year, realizing that it has so many opportunities. There are 4 opportunities in this 16th verse that I want us to think about for a few moments. Now, you know, God's people from time to time go through some very troubled times. And in the days of Jeremiah, it was so. That's why they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet, because he's trying to say to God's people, hey, this is what God says. But they're not always listening. And we are in a time as well when, as we think about our world and our nation and our situation, people are looking for answers. And have you noticed that everybody's kind of mad at everybody? Yeah. I didn't know there were so many Irish people in Canada until this past year. The Doughtys know exactly what I'm talking about here. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, to me, one message that we've never heard from any of our leaders is simply this. It's time to turn to God. And so let's look and just walk through this 16th verse for a few moments and think about the opportunities that God is talking to his people about here in the days of Jeremiah, troubled times just like ours. The first opportunity that we see is a crossroads. And some versions, the one here I have says, stand at the crossroads and look, is what the Lord is saying. Stand at the crossroads and look. And so I think the opportunity is a call from God to stop and look. Stand at that crossroads. And at the beginning of a year, isn't it just so true that we're at a crossroads? There are so many things we could think about, so many things we could do, so many desires we have that would be fulfilled in this year, so many things that we're faced with, and so on. And I just love how Scripture speaks to us. And maybe you are standing at a crossroads today in your own life. Maybe there have been some massive changes in 2021 and the beginning of this year. Maybe there are question marks that nobody seems to have an answer for. That crossroads is a great time, a great opportunity just to, first of all, stop. Boy, we are a busy people, aren't we? And we're always on the go. And there's so much to do. But here Scripture says, stand. And when I stand, I'm not moving. I've stopped. And there are times when God gives us a great opportunity just to stop and to draw near to Him. You know, when you stop, it then says, look. Now, that's a tremendous opportunity. What is it that we're looking for as we enter this year? Oh, my prayer is that this year, your pastor hit the nail on the head. Oh, that the Lord would come. But I pray for the sake of those who are lost that He would come in revival before He comes to end all things. So as we think here, there are several paths that are available. If you stand at a crossroads, there's more than one way. How are we going to decide which way? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. So we don't want to go that way. That's going our own way. That seems right to us. But what about what seems right to God? Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, another little jump ought to be in there. But for the sake of the old knees, you know. We're so enamored with the pleasures and so on of this world. But God has pleasures forevermore for all of those who are His. And the verse says, look, because there's something to see. And it says, look and ask for the ancient path. Isn't it interesting? I don't know who chose the music. Ancient words ever true. Ancient path. Well done, sister. Great choice. You see, the Lord is here with us today, and He is reminding us that there is the pathway of faith. And that's the pathway that we want to be on, isn't it? There are questions all along the way, no doubt. But when the Lord comes, it says, will He find faith on the earth? So we want to be on the path of faith, those ancient pathways. Things so often seem impossible, but they're not. We have all seen and could give testimony to the things that God has done that looked impossible, but He moved in strength and power, and things changed so quickly. You know, those old paths are the safe way. That's what this verse is saying. There's a great opportunity to walk by faith and to walk in the safe pathway. The pathway with Jesus, in a personal relationship with God, that every day we can indeed rejoice in Him and worship Him and walk with Him. It is a proven way. Abraham found it. And the New Testament tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. It was the right thing to do. That path of faith, that ancient pathway. Abraham God said, your descendants will be like the stars, like the sand on the seashore. Here's a guy getting on up there. And when he's 100, he has Isaac. Yeah. Oh, that ancient path of faith. As we start this year, dear church, dear brother, dear sister of mine, what are you by faith asking God for? What is it that you want to see God do in this year? Ask for the ancient paths. Oh, I think about Moses. A whole nation, over 1 million people enslaved. And what does God do? Send a bigger army than the world's largest army at the time? No. He calls a shepherd out in the back of the desert and says to him, I want you to go. Set my people free. And by faith, even though he was reluctant, even though he was scared, even though he couldn't talk, oh, this way of faith, that lifts us, doesn't it? That gives us something profound to hang on to. You see it again in all of those great Bible heroes. You see it in David. Here, take my armor, David. I think that giant's going to make mincemeat out of him, but I'll give him the armor anyway. And David says, I can't fight with this. I'll just take this sling. Faith. Oh, how we need this year to be a year of faith. Peter, by faith, moved on, didn't he? Paul, by faith. Oh, millions have discovered the way of God that he has provided. Just as it says in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we are in a culture and in a society that is trying to silence the gospel. And I implore you this morning, let it flow through you in all the power of the Holy Spirit of God and in all the fullness and grace that he can give. Sorry, I'm getting Irish. Oh, how we need that ancient path. Look to Jesus all the way. God's word gives us God's way day by day. It is a supplied life. I sometimes talk to people and say, you need to come to Jesus. I could never live the Christian life. And I simply say to them, I can't either. You see, it seems to be forgotten that it's not the power that is in us. It is the power that he supplies every day to live and to walk by faith. Oh, these ancient paths at this crossroad. Look today at the beginning of this year. Don't worry about getting up at 6 o'clock. If the Lord wants you up at 3, he'll wake you up. He's done it to me countless times. You can trust him to do all those things if you will seek to walk by faith in this year. Look at the way that Jesus gives, and he will not disappoint. I like Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. And I can tell you, whether it was in the years of terrorism in Northern Ireland, or walking in the jungles of Peru, or anywhere in the African continent where the Lord has led us to go and preach, he is faithful as you step by faith. He is faithful in absolutely every way. Are you afraid today that because change comes, it'll be so different and you won't be able to handle it? By faith, we step on. It's by faith that we have this word. God knows there have been enough attempts to silence it and to burn it and to get rid of it, but it's still here. And it'll be here until the day when Jesus fulfills every jot and tittle of it. You see, the Lord helps us. Throughout the scriptures, we see he helps the weak. He lifts the burden. He provides the strength to carry it. He deals with our brokenness. So much brokenness in our world. So many lives broken, hurting, desperate. Those ancient paths, what an opportunity we have to walk this year, looking to Him, knowing His peace and His truth. We know His forgiveness even today as we've celebrated this Lord's table together, His cleansing and His nearness. The second opportunity that we see is there are changes mentioned in this verse. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where is the good way and walk in it. Ask. That's an opportunity. And as you think about opportunity, it's also an opportunity to come humbly. I took my in-laws, when we first came to Canada, I loaded up my mother-in-law and father-in-law and took them to Banff. I had to go through Calgary. And you know, when I went through Calgary, I was driving on the route and I knew I was on the right road. And then I saw a sign, an orange sign with black letters. Guess what it said? Hey, somebody's been there. That's the very sign. Detour. And then there was another one a little bit further, and then there were no more. And I drove up and down a street and here and there. And you know, my precious little mother-in-law said, well, you should either pray or ask somebody. Good advice. An opportunity to ask. You know, I had to humble myself and go into a service station and ask a guy, maybe half my age at that time, how do I get to Calgary from here? And he said, it's easy. Just go out onto the street and go west. Now, in Ireland, we never talk about north, south, east, or west. So I had to say, which way's that? And he looked at me like, where in the world do you come from? Can't you even look at the sun? You know, we have to humble ourselves to ask. And we've grown accustomed to doing things our own way and so on. And really and truthfully, if we want those ancient paths, we need to ask. Not my way, but thine, O Lord. Didn't somebody once say that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus. We have to ask and it might bring a change in direction. He can change our way. He does it so wonderfully. It might be a change in mind. He can overcome our challenges. Sometimes we're hanging on to them so strong that they're burying us, when what we need to do is set them down at the foot of the cross and let Christ carry us and them. Sometimes it might mean a change in heart. He can fill us with love. You know, for that neighbor, the guy who always parks so you can't get out, and who always leaves stuff which is in the way, and who just doesn't seem to be with it at all. God can give us a change of heart. We begin to see them as He sees them. Maybe it's a change in lifestyle. You know, I've had these glasses for quite a few years, but for quite a few years I needed them and just wouldn't give in. So when I eventually got glasses, we were driving in Saskatoon, and I said to my wife, it's sure nice to be able to see the signs again. We're looking at these big, you know, 4 foot by Yeah. He can bring all the grace that we need for the changes that the years will bring. And when he brings change, we find it's a good way. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. What opportunity we have today to ask, Lord, where do you want me to walk this year? Who do you want me to walk to? How do you want me to step in grace and in your strength? You see, to ask is to recognize that we need his help. And he wants us to communicate with him day in and day out. And there's nothing too small and there's nothing too large to bring to the Lord. This is a call to prayer. Those of you who know me knew that prayer would be in this message somewhere. You see, it really is what the Lord desires us to engage in. Many years ago, we were involved in a church plant in northeastern Alberta, small congregation of people who had come to know Christ. We managed to scramble together and trust God and build a building. And you know, the building was done. We were moved into it. There was this sense of, And there was just a small mortgage that had to be on it. Everything else was paid for. And you know, I got this big, thick envelope in the mail. It was a bill from a local plumber for all the pieces that we had received and all the pieces that he had said, no, it's pro bono. But it was $6,000 worth of pro bono. And, as a pastor, I gathered the elders, the leaders, and said, we have this. And they said almost the same thing in different words, each one of them. Well, pastor, we're done. We've given everything that can be given. There is no place that we can go. I don't even know what to tell you, pastor. I'm glad you're here because you'll have to deal with it. And so if I tell you to pray for your pastor, you know, I understand why he might need that. The next morning, I took that letter, all those bills, and I went to the altar table in the building. And like Hezekiah, when he got a letter from Sennacherib to say he was going to destroy Jerusalem, I set it out and said, God, I have nowhere to go but to you. Sunday came. Oh, love Sundays. Offering happened. One of the ushers, when an usher doesn't want to be noticed, he just puts his head down. So he came to the front with his head down in a little piece of paper and handed it to me. And I was preaching, and in those days I moved around a lot more than I do now. And so I unpackaged it and set it on the pulpit. And every time I went past the pulpit, I'd have a little glance at it. But I already knew what it was going to say. It would be from the elders, and it would say, Pastor, don't forget to mention the debt. But as I looked at it every time I went by, it actually said, Pastor, we thought you should know there's a check in the offering for $6,200. Ask. Those old paths, that way of faith. There's nothing wrong with having no one to go to but him. Now, it has been said that I preach by the calendar, so let me move right along. There's the opportunity that God sets before us. And it's an opportunity that can bring change. And it's an opportunity to take the right way at the crossroads. And it's also an opportunity to discover his comfort. Oh, don't you love it when God comforts you? I sure do. There are times where I feel like, oh, Lord, I need a hug. You ever feel like that? Yeah. Well, if you look at the verse, it says, and you will find rest for your souls. That's comfort. That's the kind of comfort I need and you need every day of this new year. That's when we walk in the ancient paths in the way of faith and allow Him to change us as we meet the different circumstances that the year will bring. Finding rest for the soul, that's the deepest part of us. And as living beings, that's the part that nobody can see but God can, and He knows exactly how to touch it. That's the comfort of being forgiven and loved and included and accepted. When I was a kid in Ireland, I knew nothing but rejection. And oh, how wonderful it feels to belong. Do you have that sense of belonging with Christ today? Oh, there is nothing that this world can offer that even comes close to that. There's the comfort of His presence on the journey and the comfort of being sure that the future is in His hands. Two of my dearest friends, Bird and Liz Janile, we would go to the north and minister all over the place, and Bert and Liz would play and sing. I'd try and preach, and they'd try and keep me going. In July, Bert and Liz stopped in, and we had a visit with them. And on the 29th of September, the Lord called Bert home. You don't know what a day will bring forth, what a year will bring forth. But I'll tell you what, when I talked to Liz, I said, wouldn't you know it, look at that. He got there before you and me both. He's in the presence of the Lord rejoicing. There's the comfort of walking in obedience. At the crossroads, you can always obey or disobey. You can always change to God's way or keep going your own way. And in between is this word the pastor used in his prayer, repentance. It's where we turn to God's way. There's the comfort of experiencing His word every day. Hebrews 4:1 says there remains a rest for the people of God. Can you rest in Him? Can you just set down all the burdens today? Just like it says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. This is the God that we serve. This is the God of Israel. This is the Savior Messiah. This is the Jesus who walked to Calvary and had your name and mine imprinted on His hands to say, I love you. Lastly, there is the opportunity of choice. Yes, it's in the verse because it says, but you said, we will not walk in it. Yeah. Now here's the wrong choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, they came to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, go up and possess the land. And they said, wait a minute, we hear there's giants over there. Not going. And then they said, oh, okay, we'll go. And they were defeated. Because, you see, the first opportunity was to go by faith, and they didn't do it. And the next opportunity that they took was to go by guilt, and they failed. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. All this is available to us, these ancient paths, this good way, this rest for the souls, for anyone who believes in Christ and trusts Him as the substitute Savior. But the wrong choice can be made. But clearly a choice is made. You and I, this year, every day, we have to make a choice. Yes, Lord. You know, in the years I worked with Revival Fellowship, it was always fun to work with Ralph and Lou Sotera. They had this little saying. It said, in a meeting, when God says something to you, here's what you need to say. Yes, Lord. And what else? And you see, it's training of an attitude that says, I want that ancient path. I want that good way. I want to know that resting deep in your acceptance and being part of who you are. The opportunity is still there. So let me move to where to close. Don't want anybody to burn the roast beef today. Or maybe it's still turkey, I'm not sure. Is there someone in the gathering today and in your heart, you know there's been no real deep change? Oh, you know about Jesus. You've heard about Him, maybe for years, but you've never experienced what He does on the inside when He comes to live and take up residence and He becomes the one in charge. If I'm speaking to someone and in your heart, you know that's you. Don't go out of here without Christ. Make this the best year you've ever had. Turn to Him, even in these moments and from your heart, cry out to Him and simply say, you know, when I did it, I was 19 with a gun and a Bible on the bed in front of me and a career in terrorism going full stream. But when I read His word, it said the verse that's in your foyer, with God, all things are possible. And that night from my heart, I simply said, God, You could save me. I made such a mess of it. Would You come and save me? You know He did. And He doesn't play favorites. So if it's you this morning, turn to Him. Cry out. But I know for most of us today, there's that relationship with Jesus. But our land desperately needs you to make a decision today. Just as it needs me to make a decision today. Our world so needs revival. Our world so needs those ancient paths, those good ways, that rest that only God can provide. And the only way that that can happen is for you and me to say to Him, Lord, begin that revival in me. The thoughts that I have that don't honor You, would You cleanse them? The deeds that I do that I know are wrong, would You set me free from them? The words that I speak that I know don't give life but only injury, would You retrain my tongue? Lord, would You give me such a passion in my heart that prayerfully I could give You no rest until You bless, until You come in the strength of Your Spirit. Now, I can't make that decision for you, but I can make it for me. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, forgive my sin and unbelief. Lord, revive me. And I invite you just to join me. Father, there are times when words seem to be just so little. And I thank you for your presence in this room just now. I thank you for your touch and for your word. And I ask, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, on these dear brothers and sisters, on this your church here in the valley. Master, increase my faith. Master, forgive my sin and doubt and unbelief. Master, bring revival as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. And God's people said, amen.